more prudent due to the COVID-19 health pandemic and the peacetime emergency declared by Governor Walz pursuant to Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12, and that our meetings, including this meeting, shall therefore be conducted by telephone or other electronics pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.021 until such a time as it is no longer impractical or imprudent for this commission to resume in-person meetings. And with that, does anybody have any changes to our agenda today?
What's going on the screen?
I quit working on me here. Let me quit sharing and I will reshare, see if it comes up. All right, Mike, why is it not filling up the screen on the iPads, you know?
And it's a me.
Mike, did you catch that?
Yes, I'm thinking.
Okay. It might be helpful if we don't share the screen and we can each go to the agenda on our own.
Should we try it that way? Everybody follows it on their own?
Works for me.
Works for me.
If everyone wants to go ahead and pull that up. Just because we're having a few technical difficulties and because Ms. Mathiasen is out today, for the sake of making sure that everybody's here, I just want to run through and do a quick roll call for attendance. I'm going to call out each commissioner by name. If I can just have you let us know that you're here. I'll start with Commissioner Erickson.
Here.
Commissioner DeBleek.
Here.
Commissioner Magnuson.
Here.
Commissioner Weber.
Here.
Commissioner Lammer.
Here.
Commissioner Maboob.
Here.
I'm going to run through, our attorney Robert Scott also mentioned that he's on the line. Councilmember Meske, you're with us as well?
Yep.
I see Mr. Marty is on the line with us.
I am. Thank you.
Mr. Smith, you're here?
That's correct.
Ms. Maratsky, you're on the line.
Yes, I am.
And General Manager Heron is here as well. Am I missing anybody that's on the line that I have not called out?
Janelle Johnson.
Okay, Ms. Johnson is with us as well. All right, as long as everybody has what they need up on their own screen on their iPad, let us know if you're having difficulty with that. Hopefully you can follow along on the agenda there.
I don't have them. I don't have the agenda up. What do I have to push to get the agenda up? I just got pictures.
Carol, if you hit the main button on your iPad, you should be able to go back to your meeting program.
Okay. There, got it.
All right, so one more time, I'm going to ask, is there any changes to the agenda today?
President Mattern, I would like to give an update on our office, status of our office and our work environment somewhere throughout the agenda, either at the beginning or at the end.
I think I will have you do that probably first off, if that's okay.
Sure. No, I can do that. Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. I just wanted to give the commission an update. As of yesterday, yesterday afternoon, I had an employee inform me that they had a high temp and they had called a clinic and they were going to go in and be tested today. So out of precaution and safety for our employees, basically, I asked those that could work from home out of the office today to work at from home, and those that are not, that they would receive pay for today. We brought in the cleaning people, and we did a deep clean here, as recommended by CDC, and we should be able to bring everybody back tomorrow, and then we're going to be looking at separating staff and remotely working. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we separated the outside staff, put them in different facilities, and I think it's time that we separate staff in the office as well, as COVID is becoming more prevalent here in Willmar. So we all, you know, realize that we're probably going to get it, but our goal here is to make sure that we spread that out enough so that we're able to maintain operations here. So that's where we are at today. So as we go forward, you will probably see limited staff in the office with the remainder of staff working from home. Thank you.
Thank you for the update on that, General Manager Heron. We certainly wish everybody a healthy, speedy recovery with anything that they're dealing with. But, you know, certainly we all need to be careful at this time. So,
and if I can expand on that, that's not confirmed yet. It's just high temp. So hopefully with a little luck, they do not have the COVID-19 virus. So we're hoping for the best.
That'll be our prayer. All right. Thank you for that update. So next on the agenda, we have our consent agenda, including our minutes from the April 13th meeting and bill payments in the amount of approximately $1.7 million. On the bill payments, General Manager Heron, is there anything in the bills that you'd want to run through or update us on today?
Thank you, President Mattern. There's a handful of highlighted items that would be our capital project as usual, but nothing unusual on the listing.
With that, I would be looking for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
This is Carol. I make that.
I have a resolution from Commissioner Lommer. Do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner DeBleek, we have a second on that.
I have one question.
Go ahead.
On the bills, the payment to Ware for the boiler, rental boiler, does that take us out to the end of the year, or is that a...
Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. Kevin, can you answer that? Is that just the monthly?
That is just the monthly, and as we approach, we're actually, our original contract was a 12-month, or 18-month contract, I'm sorry, and we've gone past that, so we are basically month to month right now. It's or technically day by day. They divide that month, that amount out by the number of days in the month. And as we get past June 30th, we will be paying for the rental boiler until it is returned to Kentucky. So it'll be prorated out, but that is for a full month of rent yet.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good question. Commissioners, any other questions or points of comment on the resolution? All right, hearing none, if I could have General Manager Heron take roll call, please.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. Commissioner Lommer.
Aye.
Commissioner Mabou. Commissioner Mabou. I'm sorry. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Commissioner Erickson?
Aye.
Thank you.
I think you missed one there, John. I'll give you an aye as well.
Oh, okay. I knew I missed you. I figured we had the rest. Sorry.
Don't need the last one.
Well, I'll add you to the list. I didn't have you on the list.
Motion still carries.
That does carry. Thank you.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me at all?
Yes, Commissioner Mabou, I can hear you now.
Okay, good. All right.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the agenda, the monthly financial reports. General Manager Heron.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. First one is the electric fund. As we talked about last month, that our electric fund is down. It's been slightly down since the first of the year. There's not much change. In fact, our revenue improved slightly. Last month, we were down roughly 71 $710,000 from last year at this time, February, end of February. Now at March, we're roughly down $500,000. So we gained a little bit back. However, when we look at sales as we're going forward, we have a significant drop off in our commodity sales. So I would expect next month is going to look considerably different. I had Jaron did some research this morning to see how sales were looking at. We're sitting at this point in time, we're probably down 5-6 megawatt from last year. And our 6-year trend that Jaron has been looking at, 6-7 year trend. What did Jaron, about a 6-year trend?
Yeah, it was 6 years.
Yeah, so we'll continue to monitor that very closely. The operating, as you can see on the operating, we're almost dollar per dollar with last year. And also being at a revenue is down, our retained earnings is down as well. Our retained earnings is down about $560,000 at this point in time. Any questions on the electric before we move on to the water?
No.
The water side, again, as we reported last month, our sales and revenues are up slightly, are up about $43,000. However, when you factor into our increase, we should be up about 90,000. So we're down about 50,000 on our water revenues year to date as well. And when we look at our commodity sales on the water, it's like they are on the electrical side. They continue to diminish. They continue to drop. So we'll continue to monitor to see where things are going here. Again, on the expenditure side, slightly under on the water department. Our retained earnings are up, but when you factor in the rates, or we should actually be sitting at about 91,000 versus retained earnings are about half. We need to watch our operation. District heat, no surprises there, continues down our course of decommissioning, so our revenues continue to drop off. Our expenditures are down slightly. However, we continue to have, and we will continue to have expenditures as we shut down, as we need to get into our customers and remove their equipment in their homes there. And of course, that's our retained earnings are down as well. So with that said, if we go to the combined statement, all divisions, same thing, revenue is down overall, operating expenses are relatively close, retained earnings are down. To reflect the reduction in our respective departments or divisions. Any questions before we move on to the graphs? Okay, if you open up your graphs, you can see same story, revenues. Prior year is the brown, blue is current year to date, revenues are down slightly, expenses are about equivalent to last year, and retained earnings are down quite a bit, so. Same story. We'll continue to watch as we go forward here. Any questions there? Otherwise, we'll move on to the financials, on to the investment portfolio. Our investment portfolio, our benchmarking is relatively the same as last year. I did not have a chance to talk to Denise, but don't look like there was a whole lot of updates on our financial report. When I'm looking at the investment portfolio, it appears to be off slightly, but nevertheless, it's a benchmark of where we are at, what our investments consist of, and the dollar amount that we have invested. Any questions there?
Hello?
All right, then we'll move on to the power supply cost. If you open up that tab or document there too, you can see that our power supply cost is about average. We're looking at $0.29 is where we're at for our current cost, and our 12-month rolling average is sitting at $0.07. Fairly consistent when you look across our 12-year average. Any questions there? All right, thank you. With that, we'll move on to our safety awards that we received. And If it's all right with our chair, Matter, and I'll turn that over to Michelle.
That would be fantastic. Ms. Marotsky.
All right. Thank you, John. Thank you, commissioners. The purpose of this section is just to review that Willmar Municipal Utilities has received several awards for 2019. And the first that is mentioned, of course, is the RP3. We retained our diamond designation. Thank you to Janelle for all of the time and the effort and the work in putting that together. We also received some safety awards. First of all, First, I want to mention after the RP3, we did get a certificate of excellence in reliability. And that is a thank you to Jaron for putting that together. And we have our safety award of excellence, and that is based on our worker hours of annual worker exposure. That is also from APPA. And then we have, of course, our meritorious award in occupational safety from the Minnesota Safety Council. So all of these awards are just a good testament to the emphasis that all of our staff put on reliability, safety, everything that goes into keeping a good workplace. And I thank the commission for supporting the staff and the staff just for everything they do every day. Any questions?
Thank you for that update, Michelle. You know, I recall how exciting it was the first time we got the RP3 award, and it's no less exciting to be able to retain that, especially at that level this time around. So that speaks very highly in terms of what our staff has been doing and all of the employees at the utilities and the hard work that they have continued to pursue year after year. So, and I think all of these awards speak exactly to that. I'm curious, Michelle, with these four different awards, have we received each of these previously in the past or any one of these new this time?
We, of course, the RP3, this is our continuation or our second award of the Diamond recognition. We have received the APPA Safety and the Minnesota Safety Council. Jaron, do you know if we have received the reliability in the past? I am not aware of that one.
Yes, I know we got it last year, and I think even the year prior to that as well.
Okay. And the intention, of course, you know, with these awards come plaques and certificates. So we are working on finding a space for them, probably in the conference room, but something so that they are, they don't just get tucked in a drawer. We can actually recognize them and review them.
Well, in a time when there's all kinds of bad news out there, it's nice to get some good news. That's wonderful. Commissioners, any additional thoughts or comments on this information? If not, Michelle, thank you again for that update. Moving along, we have an educational topic on solar energy from Mr. Smith.
The item number 6 on the iPad.
Thank you. As I was putting together information for this educational topic, I wanted to include the Missouri River Energy Services literature in that, and I came across this fact sheet that they put out. And I thought it was actually pretty helpful. So I'm going to run through each of these 10 things you should know before going solar. So number one, before investing in solar, make sure your home is energy efficient. If you guys have seen the energy conservation pyramid, it's a really good graphic that shows the complexity and cost to different improvements you can make to your home. For example, a cheap, easy thing to do is to get a programmable thermostat, and that will really improve your efficiency. You can also change over to LED lighting. As it gets more complex, more expensive, you can get Energy Star rated appliances. Then you can get into air sealing or insulating your home a little bit more efficiently. And you can also start doing different things with your HVAC. And then once you've got all of that fine-tuned, you start looking at renewable energy like wind and solar. Number two, study the technology. You know, look at efficiencies of the inverters, look at efficiency and quality of the panels. The life expectancy right now for a solar panel is about 25 years. Keep in mind there's a panel degradation, so each year that panel loses about 0.5% to 1% of its output per year. Number three, understand your electric usage and the production capability of the solar system. So it lists here the website PV Watts. I went on there. It was actually pretty helpful. It's produced by NREL, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. And you can put in a projected array size. You can identify whether it's going to be fixed or tracking. You can add the inverter efficiency and a lot of different other parameters. And it will output how much solar energy you'd get from that annually. So it takes away a lot of the complicated formulas for capacity factor and things like that. So in Minnesota, with the technology today, you're looking at a capacity factor of between 10 to 17%. And what that basically means is if you take the nameplate of the solar panel, you have to multiply it by the capacity factor to get the actual output you'll get. Because as we all know, it gets dark at night, and there's clouds, so you can't get 100% of the output of that solar panel 24/7. Number four, research potential incentives and tax credits. I can also add loans and grants to that. There's a lot of information and resources available to solar. You'll have to know whether you're doing a residential installation or a commercial installation and be sure to look at both federal and state incentives. Right now, there's a residential federal tax credit of 26%, but that expires in 2021. There's also a Minnesota sales tax exemption for equipment purchased for solar installations. Step number five, or item number five here, is understand your public power utilities rate structure. So here at Wilmer Utilities, we have a summer and winter rate. It also depends on whether you're commercial, three-phase, single-phase, residential. We have a fixed charge in addition to the energy charge. We don't have time of use right now, but if, you know, the customers are in a community that does, you'll need to keep that in mind. And then another important thing to know is because we're part of Missouri River Energy Services, the rate that we reimburse solar customers is at what we call a PURPA rate, which is 2.41 cents. So as you're evaluating how much money you would be reimbursed if you generate more than you're consuming, you can't use that retail rate that we charge our customers. It would be at the PURPA rate of 2.41 cents for this year. And that changes annually, but it's historically been in that region. And that's closer to our avoided costs. So again, rather than the retail rate that we charge our customers for all our administrative and overhead fees, this is more our avoided cost from what we wouldn't have to pay in a purchase power agreement to supply that energy to the customer. Number six on the next page, ensure reliability and safety by knowing your public power's utility interconnection requirements. This is important from my perspective. We have the Missouri River Distributed Generation Workbook that you can follow. It outlines the process for an interconnection, and it also defines the important safety and protection standards that you need to meet to do that interconnection. And there's other things like metering and different informational items inside that workbook. Number seven, obtain needed permits and inspections. Again, the city of Wilmer will probably require a building permit if you're doing a larger construction project. The state electrical inspector will have to come out on site and approve the installation. Following the Missouri River workbook, you'll have to provide an application fee that depends on the size and type of the solar interconnection. But if you're in the simplified process, which means your inverter is UL listed or something similar, it's been certified, and you're less than 40 kW in size, the application fee is $100. Number eight, do a cost-benefit analysis. Now, this is a very important part. I already talked about a lot of the different technologies that have efficiencies. I've talked about different rates and fees to be mindful of. So you essentially establish your installed cost per kilowatt, and then you compare it over the lifetime of how long you expect this to last to determine whether or not it's going to cost you money over the lifetime or provide you revenue over the lifetime. And it's okay if it costs you money. We actually have a few customers on our system that have done the analysis, and they just want to do it to promote the solar technology, to reduce their carbon footprint. Those are things you need to consider as well. But we've had customers that have come and said, you know, I am looking for a way to invest, and is this a wise idea? And so you need to weigh the costs there. Number nine, with any project, choose a reputable vendor. There's a lot of companies out there that want to get in this market, so make sure that you check their references before you get too involved with any one vendor. And then number 10, check your enthusiasm. Because there are a lot of variables, it's helpful to ask a trusted friend or even come into the utility and, you know, explain what you're trying to do, and we can give you a little review and see if we can find anything that you've overlooked or something that you might want to research further. So with that, are there any questions?
No questions from commissioners, huh? Jaron, thanks for that update. I know that's a lot of information to gather. Where did you say this particular document was from?
This came off of the Missouri River Energy Services website.
This is Carol. I would say that's one thing I'm not going to do is put any solar energy on my house. I'll let you provide it for me. And then if I could just back up, because I was on mute on, and when we asked about the RP3 award, I just want to again congratulate. That's really an outstanding for our organization and for myself when I am with others on the state level and the national level. That's an outstanding award to receive, because there's a lot that either don't go for it or haven't attained it. And the fact that we have the Diamond Award right away, that's really good work. So I just want to say thanks again to everybody at the utility for what they're doing to do that, to get that award. And we'll all wait for our diamonds to come, okay?
Thank you for that, Commissioner Lammer. All right. Thanks again, Jaron. Any final thoughts that you had on that, or does that conclude your report on that one?
Nope, that's all I had. Thank you, Chair Mattern.
Thank you. All right, General Manager Heron, we'll come back for a quick update on Missouri River Board meeting.
Electronics. But in light of having the video, I'd like to point out item number 4, if you have it open, the interest rate swap. If you look, 1, 2, 3 sentences down, it talks about it is anticipated that the swap will save $5.5 million over the term of the 2012 series bond and $7.1 million over the term of the 2015 series bond. So significant savings, which all reflects in our rates or their ability to keep our wholesale power supply rates down. I'd like to point out number 6 as well. The annual meeting is going to be held by webinar as well, and they want to make sure that they have enough members on based on the bylaws so they have their quorum. So I'll be taking place. Any other commissioners that want to take place in it, you'll be more than welcome to. I would venture to guess we'll be receiving login information here as it gets closer. And the last one I want to point out that they were talking about, based on industry changes in how carbon and renewables are counted, there is going to be a change coming the first of the year in how we recognize or how our carbon and renewables are calculated on a percentage basis. What it appears right now, the information that I've seen coming out of Missouri River, everyone's renewable footprint will probably be reduced some as a percentage, but our carbon-free footprint will be reduced as well, or there'll be less of it. So all in all, depending on how you look at it, but to have a reduced carbon footprint is a good path to be on. So it'll be a good selling point in the community. Any questions on their update? Otherwise, Chair Mattern, we'd be on to item number 8. And I can try sharing and starting the screen here. Otherwise, everybody will just have to open it on their own.
That'll work.
Okay, let me see if I can share screen. That's not letting me share. It wants me to leave the video call and ask it to share, but let me try again here. No, I see it's not going through. Everybody, if you want to go to item number 8, open that up, and then the hyperlink, if you want to click on that, the video will play. It'll be like a minute and a half video.
John, I do see it on my screen.
I do see my screen too. It is
on your screen. It's not coming through on mine. All right.
Yeah.
Is it playing?
Hi, everybody. Joe Schmidt.
Yeah, it's playing.
Impact resolution for the month of March. And we're going to do something a little bit different in March because of these trying times. We're going to talk about coping and hope. How are you coping during these times? And how do you make sure you never lose sight of hope? Your character comes through when times are tough. It's real easy to have a positive attitude when everything is going great, when everything is going smoothly. But how do you respond when there's high anxiety and stress and uncertainty like we are having in these times? That's when your character shows, and that's what you're being judged on right now. Companies are being judged how they respond in these tough times. They're being judged on how they treat their employees. We've all by now seen hundreds of examples of random acts of kindness in the community, which turn into random acts of impact. I hope you're partaking in doing what you can do and letting people know you care. Because when you're selfless, the result is always priceless. It does not cost you anything to be kind. It does not cost you anything to care. So here's what I'm hoping you'll do this month. I call it the second thank you. Find somebody who's had an impact on you, somebody who helped you in your career, somebody who helped you in a tough time, somebody who gave you the values and morals that you have today, and go back and thank them and let you know that you care. It'll have an impact on them. It's a very positive thing to do. You know, in this time, it's a little tough sometimes for people to find gratitude, but instead of grumbling about how things are going, find things that you can be grateful for. That will help you cope through these tough times. You know, the Beatles have a song on their Abbey Road album. It's called The End. And the lyrics say, "And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make." When Paul McCartney wrote those lyrics, he was talking about letting people know you care. When you let them know you care, it makes an impact. It will raise your spirit. It will raise your self-esteem. And it will show your true character during these tough times.
Right. Hopefully that worked for everyone.
It did. Good words to share for sure.
Chair Mattern, I'd like to ask that you turn over to Janelle Johnson. She heads this up. I don't know if she has anything additional to comment on.
Ms. Johnson, any comments?
No comments on that, but I really do appreciate Joe and these monthly messages that he's been sending. The response from staff has really been terrific, and I have heard more thank yous just by these little reminder messages. So thank you to the commission for authorizing us to have this training for our staff.
Well, that's encouraging to hear, and it's nice to hear that the staff are appreciating it and getting something out of that. So that's great. All right, with that, I think we'll continue on to agenda item number 9. We have a district heating monthly status update.
Thank you, Chairman Mattern. We are at roughly 87 customers, so not a lot of change since last month when we reported. I believe then we talked we had 90, but we are aware of 15 additional customers that are in the process, and there's also been additional inquiries made of staff here regarding the conversion. So people are well aware. We sent out another letter last week reminding them of the need to convert, even with our COVID-19 going on, or the coronavirus, whatever you want to refer to it as. We referenced that in that letter we sent out here last week. The next letter we'll be talking about that goes out as we're coming into the end, that we will be removing their equipment come July 1st, whether they have converted or not. So those that may think that they will have heat out of this system next winter, they will have somewhat of a reality check there when their equipment is pulled out here in July. So that's where we're at. We continue to inform and work with the customers. Hopefully once we get there, we'll have very few left. Any questions on that?
Thank you, John. We're down to the last couple of months that we're going to be able to provide that system, and we're coming up on a hard cutoff on that. With a handful of folks that are still lingering on the system, I know there are some of those that are working with contractors and trying to get that squared away. With some of them who do not, if they happen to still be on the system after that cutoff point, do we have some recourse to ensure that that heat gets installed in their locations? Or?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Mattern, for that question. Excellent question. When we went into this process, Mr. Scott advised us to adopt an ordinance that allows us to go into those homes in the end, or even for customers throughout if they wanted to take advantage of it. But mainly it was focused on our customers at the end, that those that did not convert or did not have the means to convert, that we could actually go in, convert, and pay for it, put it on a property tax roll, and or let them make payments on it. So come July, the customers that are left, we will be reaching out to them to see if they plan on taking care of it themselves before the heating season. And if not, we will go in and assist to make sure that they are set and ready for fall.
Being that that is not going to be their most cost-effective route to go, I think I would highly encourage the public that's still on the system to find ways to get that conversion done. If we have to intercede or get involved, it's going to just be more costly, and it could be a little bit of a surprise on their end. So all right, commissioners, any other questions or thoughts on the update on district heat?
No, I was just wondering, curious. I know that John, you know, sending monthly letters to those, you know, homes and letting know that the district heat is going away. But I'm wondering, is it really a high number, 72 of them? Why? I mean, are they not listening or not getting the information? I was just a little bit curious why, you know, is there any other method that we can deliver this message to them?
No, good question, Commissioner Mabu. We, about the first of the year, Michelle, she went back to answering phones here, but she worked, her and Joel and Tom in our water and heating department, they reached out to every customer that was left on the system that we had not heard from and had a personal conversation with them, either by phone, in person, and I believe we had something like 15 or 20 at the end that would not answer their phone or their door. So we were not able to have either means of conversation with them. So we sent registered letters to them asking them to call. So through that process, we have heard from every customer, and every customer has indicated that they're well aware of it, that they're just waiting for the last summer before they convert. So hopefully that holds true. Hopefully that what they had informed us of their plan and their process that they follow through on. So we'll see when July comes here. But everybody acknowledged the need to convert.
So that we have the documentation, right, indicating that they kind of say they wait, they're going to wait at the end of, and then they will deal with this issue. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
Okay, thank you.
Good question. Any other questions from the commission on that topic? If not, I'll move into item number 10 on the revised agenda. We have an update for our annual designation of official depositories. General Manager Heron.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. What we need to do here with Denise on an extended administrative leave, Denise and myself are on our authorization forms, and in the event something were to happen to me, we need to get another person on there. So I am recommending that we temporarily remove Denise and add Janelle in the interim.
I will offer that as a resolution to update the depositories with Janelle Johnson and John Heron with the current removal of Denise Runge. Be looking for a second to that resolution.
Commissioner Erickson, I will second that.
All right, so we have a resolution and a second. Any point of discussion on this resolution?
This, just a question. This would just be a temporary at this time. As things unfold or whatever happens, that would probably be changed again.
That would be correct, Commissioner Lamar. This would be just an interim. Once things unfold, as you stated, and we know where we're at, there will be another resolution coming forth.
Good question. Commissioners, any other discussion on the resolution? If not, General Manager Heron, if you could take a roll on that, please.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Mabu.
Aye.
Commissioner Weber.
Aye.
Commissioner DeBleek.
Aye.
Commissioner Magnuson.
Aye.
Commissioner Erickson.
Aye.
Commissioner Mattern.
Aye.
Commissioner Lemur.
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you, everyone. All right. Item number 11, we're on to the General Manager's Report.
Thank you, Chairman Mattern. A couple things. Please be watching for invites for meetings. We'll be needing a planning committee meeting here shortly. We're waiting on Corolla. As soon as we have that information from Corolla, we'll have probably three items on that agenda. And this week, we will probably also be pushing out a labor committee meeting earlier in the week if we can pull things together to discuss an item relating to labor. So please be watching for that. And on the back side of the agenda, well, on your iPads, probably just gotta scroll down. Our Red Rock tour dedication ceremony, have not heard yet if that's gonna be canceled, possibly, nor has MMUA canceled the summer conference yet, but I would anticipate to be hearing something about that shortly as well. And the last item on the agenda, again, is our strategic initiatives and task lists and timelines. So any questions?
I'm not hearing any questions. Thank you for that update.
Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it. Stay safe.
So I do have one item I'd like to bring up. I was on mute, unfortunately.
Go ahead, Commissioner Magnuson.
Thank you. Is it possible in a couple of weeks at the next meeting? I know I don't ask for anything now, updates, but could we maybe get an update on what we have for a plan with COVID as it's hitting our Wilmer area and some of our larger customers, shutting down operations and plants, what the impact's going to be? Have we done a SWOT analysis, things like that?
Did you want me to take that, Commissioner Mattern?
Yes, sorry, please do.
Okay, good question, Commissioner Magnuson. We probably on the onset about a month ago, we addressed that. We had a planning committee that we talked about the what ifs, the potential. And at this point in time, we're monitoring to see if we are close on our projections at that point in time that we put this together. So yeah, as we go forward, we get another month into this, we'll have a better idea on the impacts that this will have on our operation. Going into it, we look like we anticipated, without going back to the data, we are anticipating about a $3 million retained earnings loss, and we canceled a number of, well, I shouldn't say canceled, we delayed a number of our capital projects, and we delayed some of our O&M projects, and we had a shortfall of about $500,000 out of that, out of our delayed project costs. And we have our catastrophic event plan that we proposed where the remainder would come from. So as we go forward, we need to continue to monitor and adjust accordingly. So your request is absolutely in line. And I would say we give it another month here and we will bring an update forward if that's soon enough.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for that, John. I think another update in May would be good. I know the update that we had recently, it was things were fairly early in the process here. And now that we're starting to see more impact locally, I agree with Commissioner Magnusson. It'd be good to keep us updated on what we're seeing in the numbers and what's happening as best we can. So,
shall do.
Any other items to come before the commission today? All right, trying to give everybody an opportunity here. Hearing none, I would look for a motion for adjournment.
So move it.
I'll second that.
Ben? A motion from Commissioner.
Go ahead. Before everybody leaves, I have a comment here.
Okay, we do have a motion and a second. Go ahead, General Manager, with your comment.
Okay, I was just going to say for signing of documents, Beth will probably reach out tomorrow as she's out of the office today. So don't look to hear from Beth today about signing the documentation. Typically, that's signed after the meeting.
Okay, thank you. All right, with that, we have a motion and a second for adjournment. We are adjourned. Thank you.